Misfits Motorsports is more than a racing team. It's a mission. Dedicated to our nation's veterans, the Misfits mission raises awareness for veteran suicide while providing support, purpose, and opportunities for veterans and youth. Together, we're driving change. Learn more on Facebook at Misfits Mission. Hey guys, welcome to the Ginger Veteran Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Gregory. Today on the show, we have Laura. She wanted to come on and share Alex's story. We'll get into a little bit of an introduction. You guys will understand, you know, who they are and why they're important to the mental health scene as soon as she gets through this story. So without further ado, I want to kick this over to Laura. Laura, before you give your introduction, I just want to say that I appreciate your strength. I appreciate the fight that you've put into this. And, you know, mental health is something that a lot of people tend to ignore because it's not in your daily life. We just had a conversation about that before we started this recording. But again, Laura Schaefer, and she's going to tell Alex's story. So Laura, I'm going to pass it on to you.
Thank you, Fred. I would like to say thank you so much for having me on the show. I am so honored to be able to tell Alex's story. Again, my name is Laura Schaefer, and I am James Alexander Schaefer's, and we call him Alex. I'm his mother. Alex was created to be all the things that I'm about to tell you, and for that, I am so grateful that we were even given such a precious gift of getting to know and love him. He was destined to be here to serve so many, to be a friend to so many, to be a support for so many, as well as to give us his son, Bo. From the very beginning, Alex was a fighter. I was told that I had a miscarriage at the hospital and they were going to perform a DNC. And basically that means taking out the baby. But the ER was super busy and I had been there for hours and I just wanted to go home. About a week later, I still felt pregnant and the doctor did an ultrasound and blood work and there was Alex. So luckily, he was still there. The rest of my pregnancy with him was absolutely rough, and we were given very little hope that my pregnancy with him would flourish. But I gave birth to my 10-pound, 4-ounce baby boy on August 8th, 1996. So I say we did just fine.
So, real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt. Sounds like Alex was a fighter from the beginning.
Absolutely.
10 pounds?
Yes. Good buddy, that was 10-4.
Wow. Wow. All right. Yes. I'm sorry. That's
No, you're good. Alex, he was just always determined to do things his way. And if he couldn't, he would find a way to accomplish his goal. When Alex was a baby learning to crawl, he couldn't get off his big belly, so he did what we called the swim. An example of him making it work his way, but it also served as a source of entertainment for the rest of us that watched it. Alex was always a happy child, and his sweet smile would light up a room. As Alex began to grow up, he formed a huge love of dinosaurs, and he often attacked us all with his T-Rex stance and his mini arms, which again was another form of Alex entertainment. Alex loved Jurassic Park movies so much, and I believe that is what made him develop the love of horror movies, which he would make you watch with him while you sat there absolutely terrified, and he would be fast asleep.
I have to say, love it. I absolutely love horror movies. I mean,
yeah. So awesome. Did he. And you would be sitting there terrified out of your mind and horrified at what you were watching, and he'd be over there snoring. So
my wife will jump and throw a pillow in front of her face, and then she'll look over at me and she's like, "Are you a psychopath? Like, how did?" I'll just sit there and I'm like, "Oh, I kind of knew that was going to happen. That's expected."
Oh my goodness. Yes, he was definitely a character. Speaking of which, you know the cartoon where the kid's like, "Mom, mom, mom."
Yes.
Mom, mother. And then you get all frustrated and she says, "Hello," or she says, "What?" And he says, "Hi." Alex started doing that to me in restaurants when he was about 3 years old. I swear that somebody saw him do that and then marketed it. And now they're the one who's rich.
Of course.
I always say that that child was just, he was always talking. And being the mother of the year, I would just talk over him. And I wish I didn't do that now, because he always had a lot to say, even if it was just hi. When Alex was a kid, he always knew he wanted to serve. Each week, he would study a different position in the branches, and then he would be so determined that that's what he was going to do. But then he would review and research another branch or position and then change his mind. And that was our entire life for several years. So we always knew he was going to serve our country. He was smart, so smart. He learned that if he could just pass each test with 100%, that he would still have A's and B's without ever having to do a stitch of homework or any projects.
Man, I wish I had figured that out.
I know, right? Acing tests was so easy for him, and he continued to do that even through the military. He holds a lot of high scores. Alex grew up hunting with his grandpa and his uncle and became a very skilled hunter. He loved to go and get lost in the woods and sit out there for hours. I felt like that was where he could gain his peace. Alex was a born leader, and as such, he became one of the captains of the football team, and all the kids from the surrounding schools knew him. When Alex went down on the football field during his senior year, their entire team showed up for him, which is just a testament to the respect he had by others. Alex was strong. He literally was asked to be on a lacrosse team so he could beat people up. I'll never forget the first time I saw him play that game, and it was terrifying. And then if you couldn't see him on the field, it's because he was in the penalty box all the time.
Hey, it sounds like that's why they brought him on the team. They needed somebody to sit in that penalty box after, you know, they got the advantage.
And he didn't care. He did not care. He loved it. Oh, Alex committed to the Marines in his junior year of high school, and the day after he graduated high school, he left for boot camp. He was so ready to become a Marine that he did not want to waste any time. In true Alex fashion, he became a leader there as well. During boot camp, we got word about an incident involving Alex and peanut butter. This absolutely made no sense to us because Alex hated peanut butter. I literally had to make Alex a jelly sandwich and his sister a peanut butter sandwich with no jelly. And like one time I mixed them up and that was the whole thing.
Oh, man. Oh, that was probably the end of the world right there. That was
yes, right?
That as nuclear meltdown.
But we were like, how could he be possibly facing getting kicked out of boot camp for peanut butter? And here it's because he was holding it back as a source of protein for others that needed it. He was truly a gift to those lucky enough to have known him. Alex went on to be the honor graduate for Platoon 2069 in Echo Company as first recruit in the training battalion and left there with a perfect PFT CRT score of 600.
Awesome.
Yeah. From there, he moved to Camp Lejeune and was assigned to the 36 and 38 Marine battalions and served 4 years and left as an E4. During his 4 years there, Alex did have an active combat deployment. And when he came back from that deployment, it was immediately clear to us that he was not okay. When Alex came home after leaving the Marines, his depression became much worse. His servant heart couldn't just let it end there, and so he joined the Ohio Army National Guard, which immediately changed his spirits, and he was so happy to be able to continue to serve. We were scared that Alex would face another deployment, and inevitably he did. Alex rose to the rank of E6 Staff Sergeant, 2nd Platoon, 3rd Squad, Squad Leader, and the 148th Infantry Regiment, Number C, 1st Battalion. I know that was a lot, and if I messed that up in any way, I'm super sorry.
It's 100% fine. The military structure like that does not make any sense. And I served for 8.5 years. And if I'm sitting here saying it doesn't make any sense, then you know it doesn't.
Writing it was like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But before Alex deployed for the last time, he got to experience something that he had such a passion for. He got to be the assistant coach alongside his high school football coach at Conotton Valley. It was truly amazing to get to witness him coach the kids on the field and see how much they loved him. His happiness only grew more due to the birth of his son, Bo Jameson. If Bo would cry, literally, Alex would run over, grab him out of our arms because we didn't know how to make him stop, only he could. Alex's love for his son was precious, intense, and extraordinary. And I will spend each day from now until the end of my existence to let Bo know just how much his daddy loved him. And we will help teach Bo Alex's ethic of working hard and showing up. And after all that is done, then it's time to have fun. Alex was also part of the Leatherneck Nation Motorcycle Club, and I know that's something that absolutely meant the world to him. He had so many friends, or brothers, if you will, that now mean the world to us. I know that they will always be there when Alex's son needs them. We recently attended a small fundraiser for them where the slogan that was on the donation bid said, "Veterans Helping Veterans." So you may want to check out a few of their member podcasts. It's called Tuesday Talk, and you can find that on YouTube. I was honored to be on one of their shows at the beginning of March. And this may just serve as another resource for you if you're listening out there and know that you too are struggling as a veteran. And this leads me into the reason why I'm telling you Alex's story. You see, Alex loved life. He had so much fun for him, and he was always laughing, teasing, smirking, or giving you his famous side eye. But all of that wasn't more powerful than the pain. Alex made the decision to leave us all on February 24th, 2025. When I look at Alex's life and the struggles that he faced, I try to explain it to people the way you would look like you would the way you would look at an onion. And what I mean by that is that there are many layers to an onion that you have to peel back before you get to the heart. I feel like that is an accurate way to describe all of the circumstances that led to Alex's suicide. You don't really get to the root of the reason until you start peeling back all of the layers. PTSD isn't something to take lightly, and you don't always see the signs in someone suffering from PTSD. If you were a friend to Alex, you may have never known the darkness that he felt because he lived life to the fullness. He loved to work hard and party harder. He lived to ride his motorcycle, play with his son, watch football games with his family, hunt with his brother, teach his sister how to ride a motorcycle, wrestle with his cousins, make fun of all of us, you OSU fans, party with his friends, quote out movie lyrics, serve with his brothers, and be there for others that couldn't see the light in the darkness. At Alex's services, so many people told us how Alex was there for them when they were down, and so many expressed that they had no idea Alex was suffering himself. And that's just it. Alex was very good at telling you what he thought you wanted or needed to hear, and never what he was truly feeling. We have and are continuing to learn so much about the amazing things Alex did and what he was doing, all of his funny stories, and he was so humble that he never even told us. He holds so many records and high scores and was fun-loving and yet strict. He was committed to the service and yet a little bit of a rule breaker. He was so many things, and yet no one knew the demons that were embedded deep within him. He didn't sleep. He had night terrors. He was in an extreme amount of debt. He was struggling with finding his identity and what he wanted to do in life outside of the service. He loved working with my brother in construction, and he loved working for a friend in home construction, but his true calling was the service. Here's where I like to point out once again the analogy of the onion. All that I just described to you is the layers to the heart of it all, PTSD. If you remember back, I told you that Alex had a major head concussion on the football field. He was also hit by a car. And what we know of his accomplishments in the Marines, there is no doubt that Alex also suffered from traumatic brain injury. And I'm just starting the research on how TBI affects PTSD and how the TBI may have made him unable to deal with his PTSD. There is a lot more to explore, and then once you do know the correlation, how do you move forward with that knowledge? And how do you watch out for those who may be suffering in the future? Anyways, more to come on that. Suicide, veteran or civilian, is a serious problem in our country. In a report published in 2024, there is an average of 131.2 people that take their lives daily. Daily. This isn't something that's going to change because our government officials haven't done anything to bring this to the forefront of being one of our major problems in this country, and I am planning to change that. Until they pay attention to this horrific statistic, this is a we problem. We, as fellow human beings, need to acknowledge that mental health is so incredibly important and that there is so much in life that brings us down. and how we navigate around mental health is a game changer, especially to those that are considering suicide as their way out. It is so important for me to share this with you because no matter what I do, I cannot bring my son back to us. I can, however, do all that I can to try to stop this from happening to another person. My daughter was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Please stay for one more day." Let this sink in for a second. And then let's say that louder for those in the back. Please stay. Stay with us for one more day. Give us the chance to try to be of any assistance. Tell me how I can help you with pulling you through this troubled time. I validate you, and I validate your inner struggles. Those belong to you. And while you can never walk away from what is trying to pull you into the darkness, we can try to provide resources that help you acknowledge and maintain your story and help you begin to heal. Even if it is just sitting and listening, sometimes that is all you need. You do not need someone to be a big, positive, look at all the good stuff kind of person sometimes. Sometimes you just need to be. I want to tell you that there is hope. As someone that has experienced my own trauma, there is stepping away from the shadows and moving forward. I want people to be aware that suicide is not the end to the suffering. The pain that is felt from those that you leave behind is something I can only describe as a constant gut punch. You may be sitting out there today thinking that there isn't anyone that can understand what you are going through. And although everyone's story is different, this simply isn't true. I would like to encourage you to reach out to literally anyone, and you will be surprised at the support you will find. And if there is no one willing to be that, I will always try to be a support. And if I cannot, I will work with so many people that are willing to be a listening ear for you. More to come on resources for you. Hang in there. I am proud of you. If you are a veteran and you are thinking that it's your time for the resources and support that you deserve, and even if you don't want to admit that, there is a wonderful organization, Link 22. And although I am just starting the process of possibly getting to work with them, I can tell you that what they have to offer could have been a game changer for Alex. Something that I need to tell you is that Alex reached out to the veteran hotline, and paraphrasing his own words, all that he got was an untrained person on the other line that didn't seem to have feelings and called the police. This caused Alex more embarrassment and made matters worse, as he never reached back out. Link 22 is an organization that is looking to change that in a moment. What I'm about to share with you, I took directly from their website because I think that as a veteran, you should hear this so that you can see where Link 22 came from and their mission. The tale of Link 22 is one of camaraderie, shared experiences, and a mutual passion for helping others. It began with two battle buddies, Troy McElwee and Matthew Jarecki, whose bond was forged in a crucible of military service. Their journey to finding Link 22 was set in motion during a road trip in West Virginia for a weekend mountain hike. As they navigated through the trails, Troy and Matthew found themselves engaged in deep conversation about challenges facing veterans transitioning to civilian life. For years, they have been made aware of Troy's struggles with the invisible wounds of war since their first deployment together. Their friendship has weathered the storms of life. It was during their journey that they realized their shared passion for making a difference in the lives of veterans, particularly in combating the alarming rate of veteran suicides. Determined to find a solution, Troy and Matthew united their strengths, experiences, and unwavering commitment to create a resolution and intervention to veteran suicides. They believed that the key lay in fostering healthy and successful transitions for veterans as they reintegrated into civilian life. There, Link 22 was born, a beacon of hope and support for veterans facing complexities of post-military life. Troy and Matthew's shared vision guides Link 22 in providing comprehensive resources, support, and advocacy to empower veterans to thrive in their civilian endeavors. Their story is a testament to the power of friendship, shared purpose, and the belief that together we can make a difference. For more information on Link 22, you can explore their website at www.22links.org, or their email is info@22links.org. If you feel the need to reach out, please do. I want to close with this. Stay. Stay with us for another day. Give us all the chance to help you. Making the decision to leave us permanently is just that, permanent, and you deserve more. If you're struggling out there today, just by listening to the show in its entirety, you are taking the right steps, and I am so proud of you. I know that we can do better, and I promise you there are people out there trying. So stay, every day. For all of those out there listening to Alex's story and you are wanting to help make a difference in a veteran's life, we do have a GoFundMe for Alex. We will be taking any donations that are made for him starting in April, and we'll be using those donations to help fund the missions of Link 22, Save 22, Ginger Veteran Podcast, and in other ways that, and any other ways that we can possibly help any veterans or civilians in need, in honor of our son, James Alexander Schaefer. Thank you.
Laura, that story, absolutely, absolutely powerful.
Thank you.
I just, listening to that, I'm right now I'm trying to find the words, honestly. You know, you spoke about Alex doing all these great things for other people, even when it necessarily wasn't right with the system, right? Like holding peanut butter in basic training for others who needed protein. You know, a lot of people don't really realize the correlation with your inner pain and wanting to help others. You know, just personally, I know that when I was in the military, I was struggling, but I always made it my mission to make sure that my soldiers were taken care of. I made it my mission to make sure that the people to my left and right had everything that they needed, because I didn't want them to feel any type of way that I was feeling. And I wanted to make sure that they were successful. You know, it's
that's,
yeah. I mean, I see all the time on social media, you know, somebody will post a picture of I don't know if I'll get any legal trouble for this, but Robin Williams, right? And there's always this quote under there that says, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's like, I made others laugh because I knew the pain of not having that joy. And, you know, with the nature of social media, I don't know if he actually ever said anything like that. I don't know. But I do know that he had his struggles, obviously.
Yes.
You know, and if he said that, bam, hit the nail on the head. If he didn't say that, somebody has hit the nail on the head. And I think that it really aligns with how he was. And it sounds like Alex was just in so much pain, you know, that... Yes. He didn't want to, you know, have others feel that pain or have the opportunity even to feel that pain. It sounds like Alex was very intense and very, very intentional on what he was doing.
That is exactly it.
Amazing. 100% amazing. I wish I had had the opportunity to meet him. You know, I kind of want to talk about something real quick. You mentioned that he had called the hotline.
Yes.
So.
Yes, he did.
When, and I've shared this in my episodes, you know, my first two episodes of the podcast were I'm nobody and this is my story. And that's the whole premise of this podcast. I'm literally no one. I'm just a person trying to build a platform, trying to help people such as Alex. You know, when I went to my first appointment after getting out, the nurse was asking me all these questions, and they have to do all these checks, right? Make sure that the soldier's mental health or the veteran's mental health is up to par. And they were asking me questions. Are you thinking about committing suicide? Well, at the time, no, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I do. I would much like to go to sleep and not wake up. And, you know, I don't want to do it by my own hand, but I don't want to be alive anymore. So that spawned a couple more questions from the nurse. She asked them, and I answered, you know, as someone who is struggling on the inside and somebody who is really contemplating on, man, I just wish it would just be over, right? So when I went to see the doctor, you know, the doctor came in, talked to me, went over all my medication, all my history, not one word about any mental health concerns, not one. So I left that appointment. I got in my car. On my way home, I had those intrusive thoughts.
That's infuriating as a mother to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, why don't I just drive my car off into this river? I've got a 45-minute drive home with nothing but myself. At this time, my wife didn't fully know what was going on. But I had gotten like Alex. And on the way home, I said, that's it. I don't care. I don't care anymore. Obviously, I was the only one who cared. And now since nobody else does, I don't care. So that started a downward spiral in me. And that's when my wife began to pick up on it. You know, but if my wife had not picked up on it and my wife had not seen the signs, it never would have happened. I wouldn't be sitting here today. I'm fully, fully aware of that. Had she not been so persistent about me getting help, I would not be sitting here today. She literally drove into me so hard, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's going on? What's going on? Until I finally just broke down on her and I bawled. And I said, this is what's going on inside. I did this at the VA. I thought I was going to get help and I didn't. So the signs aren't always there. I've dealt with PTSD from childhood trauma forever, but I didn't know it until I was 36 years old. Nobody around me knew it until I was 36 years old.
I just think that, you know, there's trauma for so many, and mental health is overlooked for so many. And just speaking on the veteran side of things, it's hearing your story and that it was overlooked should tick off everybody. It should just make everybody mad. These are the people who have given up so much to be of service to us, to keep us where we're at in this country, and we overlook them every day. We don't treat them the way that they should be treated. And that should make everybody angry.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And, you know, I partner with Misfits Mission in Michigan. They're a new, roughly new startup. And they are basically offering integration for veterans, you know, to integrate back into civilian life. And they are offering different opportunities. You know, and they have a racing team. They're actually offering veterans to come in and, you know, learn how to work on cars, learn how to build race cars. They have a mini Misfits racing team. So it involves the kids if you have children. Their mission is huge. It's absolutely huge. The toughest thing for a service member to do is to transition back into the civilian life. I've
come to learn this just sitting around. We were honored to be able to sit around with a lot of people that Alex knew and listen to a bunch of stories. And you don't realize the pain that they feel when they're gone for an entire year and they have to come back and join that civilian life. You know, I was extremely club, and I knew a lot, but I just didn't know enough. And he never described that the way that he has to others that he served with, and just listening to them talk about it. It was a literal gut punch to hear their struggle, and that is not okay.
Yeah, I don't want to overshare, and my wife killed me, but when we got out, it was a surprise, because I went through the medical release process because I hurt my back. So this whole stretch of my military career, I'm like, I'm doing 20, I'm going to retire. I found something I do really well. I love it. I'm the happiest I've ever been. And then bam, hurt my back. And once you hurt your spine in the military, that's, you know, they're washing their hands of you. It's done. But when I got out, it was such a shock. I was struggling to do interviews. I hadn't done interviews in probably 10 years, 12 years. Military says, you know, hey, we have the USO, or we offer this program that'll help you get ready for interviews. But my interview's tomorrow, and I can't get an appointment with these guys until, 2 days after I'm out of the military. That makes sense.
Right.
And then when we went to have our stuff moved, they didn't have enough companies to schedule our stuff getting moved, so we had to do it ourselves, which is fine. They pay you for it, but they only pay you so much up front. Well, I think they ended up paying us like $4,200 up front, which is great, except for the fact that the U-Haul costed $5,900, not to mention putting fuel in it.
Right.
I mean, the transition coming out of the military is one of the most difficult things. And that's what Misfit's mission is helping with. They're offering trade programs and stuff like that. They're, you know, trying to get this thing off the ground, and just like we are here at Ginger Veteran Podcast. You know, that kind of, like I told you, I'm very open and transparent about this show. You know, obviously you're on my phone right now. I've got a microphone under you, got a microphone hooked up to me. I'm sitting in my master bedroom closet, right? This is a passion project, because I see that there's a gap, and we need to close that gap.
Right. That's exactly it.
And it's not just for military. It's not just for veterans. It's for civilians too. You know,
that's exactly it.
It's really rough out there. I mean, I've seen, I don't know how many therapists before I finally got the one that I click with, but the military sent me to a place that I will not name, because what I'm about to say would probably get me in some legal trouble, so I won't say it. But I saw, just at that one clinic on community care, I saw five different therapists. Who, the first one, this is your intake appointment, tell me your story. I cry, I tell them my story. Okay, I'll schedule you for another appointment. Cool. I come in for my second appointment. Hey, I'm so-and-so. This is your intake appointment. Tell me your story. I know nothing about you. All of them. Every time I came back, it was a different therapist and a different intake appointment. And then the med management was like, I would tell them, this doesn't work for me. And they said, okay, well, let me schedule an appointment for 60 days out. Well, if I'm on medicine that's not working for 60 days, what's going to happen in that time frame?
Right.
So the place that I'm at now, the med management, she scheduled appointments with me weekly until we had my medicine right. The therapist that I'm with now, she told me, she said, you're doing phenomenal. She knows about the podcast. She listens to it. Okay. She loves it. She said, you're doing phenomenal. She said, honestly, you can be released from therapy. And I said, awesome. Can we keep going? And she said, absolutely. So she has kept me on, even though she doesn't feel like I need therapy anymore. I still feel like I need it. I feel like, honestly, therapy is helpful. I mean, if I have a bad day, I can go into therapy and say, this is what happened. Let me let this go.
Yeah. Right. That's healthy. That's very healthy. And that's what people need to be aware of. That is very healthy.
Yeah.
There's mentally healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's part of the whole thing with this podcast is there is a stigma attached to mental health.
That's right.
And there's an even bigger stigma attached to men's mental health. Mm-hmm. And it's not only external and people saying, oh, you're a man, you're supposed to be tough, suck it up. It's internal too. It's
That's exactly what it is.
As soon as we get to the point where we reach out for help, if somebody shuts us down, that's it. That's it. We're done. And we shut that door and we try to move on. And unfortunately, sometimes, like in Alex's case, you can't always move on. And
that's right.
It's a sad truth that we all have to wake up and realize that, you know, people are out here struggling and we all have to love each other and take care of each other and look out for each other.
That's exactly it.
And
who are you to judge somebody else's
exactly.
inner problems?
Exactly.
We all have them.
And I shared with you before we started the podcast that I've done advertising on Facebook for this show. And I've had some people that don't agree with it. And they've said some pretty awful things. And I've actually invited them to the show to do an interview. Not in a way of, hey, I'm going to get you on here and berate you and tear you down. I want you to share your side. I want to understand why you don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and it could be that they were put into a same predicament that you were. With a wash, rinse, repeat type therapist, and then just blew it off.
100%. And now they have the mindset that it just does not exist. Mm-hmm. And that's sad. And that's scary.
It is. Because, you know, 131.2 Americans dying from suicide every day. If that statistic there doesn't scare you, you think that's never going to touch you. And I pray that it never does, but that is so many people that one day it will touch you. And if we don't get a grip on it now, it eventually it'll find its way towards you.
Yes, it will. And I hope that if it ever finds its way toward any of those people, that they don't look at that person in their life and call them a coward, because that is the worst thing that I've ever been called when I have expressed wanting to take my own life. And it's difficult to hear, but it's unfortunately the climate of mental health. I mean, when I did the episode number 3, The Pen is Mightier Than the Stigma, you know, Sean expressed if somebody broke their leg and went to the doctor, you wouldn't say, why are you going to the doctor? You have a broken leg. You know, you can see that. But if somebody has something wrong inside or mentally, you can't see that. So people tend to jump to the judgment.
That's right. They're invisible wounds.
Exactly. Well, Laura, I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate everything you're doing. You are amazing. Your strength is just mind-blowing. I cannot believe this mission that you're on. I mean, it is just phenomenal. I will tell you, I do not know how you got through your story and Alex's story without breaking down, because the whole time you were over here, I had little ninjas running around cutting onions, right? I wasn't crying. I'm the man, right? I'm tough guy. But you make me speechless, because this is just phenomenal what you're doing with this. I mean, you could take this situation and you know, chalk it up to a loss and move on, but you are really, really creating that support that everybody needs, and it's phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I am so proud of my son, and I live every day making him just as proud of me.
You know, your son was a Marine. I'm an Army veteran. We probably would have gotten along, but obviously we would have had to have given each other issues for, you know, being in different branches, right?
Right.
And that's how it works. Army, Marines, Coast Guard, Navy, Air Force, it doesn't matter. We all give each other a hard time. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, nobody better mess with us, right? We got each other's backs. And
you all bleed the red, white, and blue.
That, exactly. 100%. And I think that, you know, that's something really important to remember. There's a brotherhood inside the veteran community. There's a brotherhood inside the active duty community. We need to create a brotherhood inside the mental health community and make it normal. Normalize this. Make it normal to talk about.
Right.
All right, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you.